Hi, Bunny. It's been a while, hasn't it? We missed you. We really did. So much. And look at you now. Wow. All gothed out again? Back to wearing your scary, bleak clothes and your dark hair still hanging in front of your eye? How funny!
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. That was Catherine, in case you couldn't tell. That was a little monologue, a little character reading. We are bringing you all of the internet's most popular books and tell you whether or not you should spend your time on them. Yeah, I'm Caitlin.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Casey. And today we are reading a sequel. The book is We Love You, Bunny by Mona Awad, who, of course, wrote Bunny, which we also...
Ooh, his.
I'm sure this doesn't really need that much scene setting. Bunny is probably one of my favorite episodes we've recorded on the podcast. I gave it 5 stars. It's one of my favorite books of all time. Catherine and Caitlin both hated it, despised it, literally couldn't stand it.
I gave it 1 star.
I gave it one star too.
Bunny.
Oh my God, Buddy.
It's probably our most extreme disagreement to date. But anyway, so when the sequel to Bunny came out, I really wanted to do it on the podcast.
And unfortunately, it has been stupid popular.
Yes, it has been everywhere. And so let's get into it. This whole episode will be semi-spoilers because obviously we're going to talk about the first book. So know that going in. The plot of the second book is essentially a prequel and exposition to the first book. It's like the events of the first book, but told more from the perspective of the bunnies instead of from the first book's main character, Samantha. So you basically follow the events of the first book. You kind of learn how the bunnies figured out how to do the bunny thing and make their darlings. And
most of the book is actually a prequel to the first book.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, they don't overlap.
They overlap, but it's like before Samantha actually joins the bunnies.
Yeah.
But it follows the duration of the MFA program.
You could just read the second one, because let me tell you, as I was reading the second one, I go, wait, what? Because I don't remember a single thing that happened in the first one. Blocked that out so hard.
Same.
I loved the first one, so I remembered everything, and I was tracking it very closely. But, you know, we'll get into it. The events are the events, and the book is the book.
So there are some events.
There are some events. I don't know. I assume if you're listening to the podcast, you read the first one or at least listened to our episode on it. And it's very gory, like the first one, and involves exploding bunnies and
gratuitous descriptions of dicks
and sexuality. Anyway, do you guys have reviews from the internet?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. I have a 1 star from Goodreads, because Goodreads was very funny on this one. And it's very short, and it just says, Bunny, why the fuck would you waste my time like that?
Yeah. I saw that one very funny.
I've got 2 I want to read. The first one is a 2.75 stars, and it says, okay, fine, I won't get an MFA. And then the second is 3.5 stars, and it says, 'twas really funny, smiley face, but not as good as Bunny, frowny face.
If you know, you know. Reference to the first bunny ever created by the bunnies, though I guess not the first ever created in time. Anyway, I got a 1 star review. This one says, if the bunny universe has no fans, I am alive and in the best health of my life.
Period.
A play on the normal version of this, which is, if this series has no haters, it's because I'm dead. If this universe has no fans, I'm alive and in the best home. Okay. Well, the overall Goodreads rating of the book is 3.52 out of 5. The Fable rating is 3.5 out of 5. And the Storygraph rating is 3.74 out of 5. What do y'all think?
I'm sticking with my one star. I had one star in the first book. I'm one star in the second book.
I don't know you.
I was going to DNF it, but I actually finished it today. So
we kind of forced her by code switching to the book lingo in our text chats.
Yeah. We peer pressured Catherine to finish by like bullying her in bunny talk.
It was horrifying and my worst nightmare.
Finish the book, okay?
I want Casey to go next.
Okay. I am so sad to report that I gave this book 2 stars. I want to reiterate, Bunny, book one, is probably in my top 5 books of all time. Like, one of my favorite books I've ever read. This book was such a grand disappointment. It is, like, ridiculously boring. It's obsessed with itself. It doesn't have any of, like, the magic or the ambiguity or even the interest of the first one. And it makes the first book worse because it just takes away all the interesting points of contention and mystery that the first book created. And you really don't learn anything new. It doesn't deepen the characters. It doesn't layer the story. It's just like literally reading a more literal version of what you read the first time. So I could like barely get through it. Like I didn't like it at all. And so, this will probably replace Serpent and the Wings of Night as like the most disappointing sequel I've
ever read. That's impressive.
She listened to that episode. She was big mad. Here's why I'm going to shock everyone. My rating went up.
It did. I was surprised.
I gave Bunny 1 stars. I hated that book with violence. I actually was probably riding like a 3 stars on this until A, it's way too long, and B, the ending pissed me off. You put so much work in for like nothing, essentially. But I thought it was kind of funny, way funnier than the first book. And I thought the characters were way more interesting this time around. You hated them all. And contrary to what I know the other two are going to say, I found Arius hilarious.
Okay. I did find Arius extremely funny. He was actually the highlight for me.
I don't know. Maybe I was like, haha, because I was reading it as, you know, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Allegory, hyperbole, metaphor.
What?
I'm not sure that's what you
I don't
mean.
Know.
Metaphor. Yeah. Whole story was a metaphor for the creative writing process, I feel like. Yeah, and as I was reading it that way, we can get into that more later. I don't know. That just made me be like, okay, whatever. But no, ultimately 2 stars.
So interesting. Me with the biggest disappointment of my life, Catherine continuing to read a series she despises. Mm-hmm. Read a book she hated, but hated less. So
far too long, though.
Yeah.
It's far too long.
One of my big critiques, too. Okay, so let's get into the discussion. Is the book more plot or character driven?
Let me know if you figure it out.
Yeah, I can't figure that out either.
So this is one of the reasons I hate this book, because I think this book actually has no real tension in it, because I think that it's plot, but the only reason it's plot is to figure out what happened in the first book. Like, she's basically just retelling you the narrative established in the first book, and you get more background info. So I feel like the only motor is to follow the original plot of Bunny. And then also they have actually technically taken Samantha captive. Well, so you're like, what are they
gonna multiple do? Captives and you want to see what happens to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because this majority of the book happens before book one even starts, because they make this first bunny before everything. So you know how it ends up, but you don't know any of the story that's being told. But yeah, I think technically plot,
but I hated it.
Okay, I almost argue character because the premise is sort of the bunnies reclaiming the narrative and telling their side of the story. And you get to know them and it doesn't help you like them more.
No.
But you learn more about them. And then, like, Arius is a whole character himself. Like, that is a journey.
Yeah. And that's a very character-driven journey. Well, kind of plot, too. But
I know it's
ultimately. Because he has to figure out that he had the key all along.
And I still don't know what it was, quite frankly.
Same.
Okay, our second question. Have you or would you read other books by the author? Obviously, we've all read Bunny.
Do not make me do this again.
No, I'm never reading another book from this author again.
I'm sorry. You cannot force me. You're clever and creative. You are not my type of style.
So I would still, I loved Bunny so much that I feel like I need a third data point to decide how I feel about this author. I've always hoped to read her other books, but I just don't have that much time. Because a 5-star read and a 2-star read is like, I haven't decided what I think of her yet. but one of the best books I've ever read, and then one of the most disappointing sequels. Like, I just need another book to decide, okay, do I like this author or not?
I mean, it will not be on the pod.
Nope.
No. Not unless it blows up.
This is my Allie Hazelwood, never make me read this author again.
Fair enough. Okay. Would you watch a TV show or movie of the book?
No.
I think Bunny is being created.
I think it is.
No. Yeah.
I would.
I know you would.
But mostly for the bunny of it all. Not because of this book in particular.
I'd watch this one not. Bunny. This was giving, like, Scream Queens hilarity.
Yeah.
But also more sinister.
Yeah, a little bit more serious.
I did start watching the show on Hulu called Beauty. Same creator as Scream Queens. People striving for perfection and living creatures explode. And honestly, I did once watching it cover my mouth, but it was entertaining. I unfortunately was eating pizza.
Ew.
Oh. Gross. Anyway. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess that technically brings us to Busy Girl rating. Y'all ready?
One. I'm still sticking to one. The pacing's atrocious of this book. And I wouldn't recommend it to anyone like me, because I hate gore. I think that this is what I've learned from this podcast. I will read gory books because y'all force me to. I hate them every single time. Like, here's the thing. Tender is the Flesh is a good book, but because I'm me, it disgusted me. This book is not a good book and is a ton of gore. So one.
I don't know. Like, it's way too long. Like, yeah. Way gratuitously too long. But I was amused. I'll stick with my two.
Okay. Wow. Caitlin's going to be more generous than I am. I'm also going to give it a one. It was just so long. Like, even the points that I found interesting started to grate on me because they just went on for too long. And I really struggled to get through it. Like, we had to push back our recording date twice because we hadn't finished. And so I just think, like, all three of us couldn't finish it on time. Like, that's not good.
That's terrible.
So I think I'm going to give it a one.
Fair. There were times, the only reason it's gated two for me is because there are times where I was excited to keep reading and see what was happening, mostly when Arius was involved.
Yes.
That's fair.
The second half of Arius's narrative really interested me, but that was like the only part of the book I was interested in.
Oh, see, I was far more interested in the murdery part.
No. All right, let's get into the spoiler section. Okay, this is a sequel, so I can't imagine we're spoiling much for anyone, but just in case, you know, being so lowly reviewed must intrigue someone. But we're going to get into it, and we're going to get into why and what this book is really about. So yeah, don't listen on unless you want us to spoil it for you.
Okay. Well, question one, mostly for Casey. Mm-hmm. did this book live up to the hype of the first book? There was no hype for the first book, so no. I'm just going to sit this one out.
Yeah, no hype for me. This is a Casey question, yes.
No, it did not live up to the hype of the first book.
Okay. Go off, queen.
To me, the magic of book one is the kind of like artful mystery. The fact that you don't exactly know what happened. You don't exactly know how to interpret Samantha. You don't know what's real. This book actually just makes, like, answers every question left from the first book. Because part of what made it so great is that you could interpret it in different ways. And it was sort of a representation of a bunch of different stuff, like loneliness and female friendship and the pressure to conform and also the pressure to, like, be creative and produce something great. And I felt like this book was entirely like an allegory for the pressure to create as an author. I did find parts of that really relatable because I was a creative writing student, and I did do public critiques. Journalists also normally do public critiques. I did sketch comedy where we did public critiques. So it's like I understood and related to the subject matter, but it just stretched on and on and on. And I was like, a book almost exclusively about what it feels like to write a book is boring. Like, I need something else. There has to be more themes and topics in the book other than just that. And I felt like it took some of the most interesting and demented female characters I ever wrote and actually made them more one-dimensional. Like, we understand more about them, but they don't become more interesting. They just become more literal. Like, oh, they're more not
psychotic.
Like more psychotic, but it's like in a very like basic, like, oh, mommy issues.
Yeah. They're more comical.
Yes.
Like they almost became comic book villains in this right. book.
And I was really excited at first when I saw that the book was going to be told from their perspective, because I thought it was almost going to be like five Samanthas, right? Like somehow these girls have been sucked into this hive mind. And I feel like none of the intrigue in the story came from that. They don't even really tell that story. They sort of just show up and become bunnies like immediately. Yep. Like, they barely have any normal interactions with each other. And then they're just sort of like a group. I was so upset. Arius could have been really interesting, but again, it was just stretched on way too long. And there were way too few like interesting plot points. I felt like all the depth in the novel came from his narrative about like also really what it means to be human. Like, how do you communicate the human experience? And like, so much of art is about like base human desires and how humans dress up as civilized, but really are sort of ruled by their impulses the same way animals are. Because he was the most animalistic and the most violent, but he was also the most human. But then it just gets buried in all the other bullshit. Like, this book should have just been about Arius, in my opinion. It should have been 250 pages long, and it should have been just Arius.
You know what? I actually probably would have appreciated it more if it was that, even though Arius grossed me the fuck out because of the bestiality of it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, I did not need to read about him having sex with Jonah.
I mean, he is a man at that point.
No, he is defending part bunny.
I'm not defending the bunnies and the professor and their sexualization of him, but Jonah did not know.
Still.
I actually think I preferred the first half to the second half, the chaos of it.
Yeah.
These dumb girls trying to find this man they created who's run around killing frat boys. Like, I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And he just wants to be loved and helped.
Right.
By a poet. The poet trees in their manuscripts. I don't know. I found that half funny. It was when Ursula entered the picture that I was like, oh my God, stop.
But here's the thing. The first part of the book is not Arius. For the first 40%, it's just them tying up.
I know. And I totally didn't mind it. Because I kind of like their backstories and how chaotic they were. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, it was slow. I'm not saying it was well-paced, but I preferred it to the back half of the book.
Okay.
Ursula entered the picture, I lost interest.
That's fair.
I can understand that. I think I was so angry at the first half of the book because I just wanted so much more from the backstory. Like, again, we get so much from the bunnies, and yet I still sort of had trouble really telling them apart. Like,
I couldn't tell them apart.
I could.
Like, oh, there's the one who, like, cuts herself, and then there's, oh, the one who is obsessed with the one who cuts herself, and then there's the sort of goth one, and then there's the leader who's, like, the ethereal one. But
I could totally tell them apart.
I just felt like it was so paper thin. Like, they were defined by, like, one characteristic that set them apart. And not by, like, an actual exploration of who their characters were.
Okay, well, here's a question. Which was your favorite bunny?
None of them. I wanted them all to jump off a cliff.
Well, yeah, it's not like a, oh my gosh, I love this person. But, like, who is your favorite chaos queen? I like Kira because she could get it done with the axe and was also like, are we sure we should be doing this?
Yeah. Kira was the most tethered to reality.
She was doing things with supernatural entities, so I don't know, but...
Oh, the one who was having sex with ghosts. Okay, yeah.
She was the one who was like, oh, I think that this is murder and maybe we should stop, and also, like...
Isn't she the one that murdered all the other bunnies?
All of them, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that yes, that's the best one, yes.
That was the practical decision to take rather than holding them captive for days on end or releasing them into society where they would just, like, kill people, like...
I also thought her POV was hilarious because Coraline makes it sound like Kira's fawning all over her. And Kira's like, I kind of hate her.
Yeah. But Kira's also fawning over her and the other girl's perceptions because she loves to hate her and hates to love her.
Yes. That's why I found her interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I sort of liked Coraline just because I feel like we ended up spending the most time with her. And I don't know. I just...
That's a fitting name because that movie gave me nightmares as a child.
Yeah, that's my scariest movie I've ever seen.
I also think her backstory felt the most built out to me. Like, I think I understood her the most as a person and why she was willing to do all the bunny stuff.
You really only got the actual backstory from her and Elsinore. Yeah.
Exactly. And, like, she obviously has self-harm issues and, like, kind of has an eating disorder. And so I felt like her sort of impulsive, like, psychopathic need to be loved and create something that loved her made the most sense for her. Some of the other girls, I still kind of wondered at their motivations.
Because they're not really in their heads that long.
Right. Because they're willing to do so much. And it seems like still like, why? Why are you willing to go that far?
Yeah. That is missing. But seems like it has happened on this campus for ages.
Yes. We learned that pretty much every creative writing student has been like doing this bunny shit because all the professors are like, ah, here we go, a creature.
Another bunny.
Another bunny.
Oh no, you're here to kill me again. Dang it.
Yeah.
Everyone the professors are bunnies.
Yeah, and bunny worshipers. I did like some of the commentary just about like how the more they wanted to control the creations, the less realistic they became. Mm-hmm. And the less human they became. Their most human bunny was created by accident. I think there's a lot of commentary there, not just about the writing process, but also about loving someone and loving a fantasy and trying to hold on to a fantasy instead of holding on to a real person.
How about the most over the top one where they literally the author literally says narrative artists are axe murderers. creative writing is axe murder.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, again, I like some of the now I'm gonna forget the word. I'm gonna be like Caitlin and not be able to remember the word.
Allegory. That's what I was looking for originally. And I said it first and then I double overthought it.
Yeah. No, when you exaggerate to a crazy degree.
Hyperbole.
That was one of the other ones I listed. It wasn't what I was looking for.
Yes, I was like, she just said it. I appreciated some of the hyperbole because I think that is how it feels to artists. And also, I loved their hatred of each other because I think that's also sort of realistic. Like, these programs full of ambitious people really do breed a lot of jealousy.
Competition.
Right. And professors really are godlike figures that they're desperate for the approval of.
Mm-hmm. I did like to the conversation around who owns the work, the idea, the muse when it's a group effort, and then the idea that sometimes professors or people you trust take your work from you and use it.
And that happens.
It does a lot. I also like the sort of like fight over inspiration. Like, for some reason, only one person or one group could have inspiration. And I think there's a lot in there about like coveting other people's ideas instead of focusing on yourself and your own work. Because again, these programs are just sort of rife with jealousy.
See, I was reading it very much as like, this is all just, you know, allegory for the writing process, for creative writing. So I wasn't reading, these are characters I care about.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe that's why I was more amused.
But it should be both, right? It should be a good story and a good allegory. Yeah. And I felt like...
I still only gave it 2 stars.
Right. I feel like the first bunny was just so rich in both. Like, there was... I mean, I know you guys hated it.
I don't know what that book was about, Casey.
It was about Samantha and her obsession to fit in, but also her hatred of the other women and her pathological...
I think I hated Samantha. I think I prefer the bunnies.
Yes. I mean, I hate them all.
Horrible.
And Samantha also sucks. Like, I think one of the things the book is... good at is actually showing how Samantha was just kind of a bitch. Like,
yeah, she stole their work.
Yeah, well, yeah, she stole their work. And also, she did just, like, hate them from the start and isolate herself for no reason. Like, she was so committed.
She was not the victim.
No.
Right. She was so committed to, like, being different that she basically, like, sacrificed them. Because also in the creative writing workshops, she joins in on the critique. And yes, it's normal in a creative writing workshop to critique other, you know, your peers. But it's also obvious that, like, on day one, maybe you don't need to, like, contribute to going in on one of your peers' stories. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she's kind of being a fucking bitch. Like,
also, the most annoying characters from the first book, who I even forgot existed until this book, became some of my favorites in this book. That's not saying much. Still a 2-star book, guys. Jonah and Alan.
Jonah,
yeah. I think
he's so dumb.
He's so dumb. I think it's very interesting that there are people when they... I was, like, spark noting Bunny because I was just kind of confused and, like, wanted to see where these characters overlapped. And in Bunny Book 1, some people think that Jonah wasn't real and that he was, like, a figment of Samantha's imagination, as in, like, supposed to be, like, this normal person who's trying to lead her towards, like, not the craziness of the bunnies. So that now that he's, like, a real figment, he's no longer a figment. Like, he's a real person. Like, he's in this book, so he's a real person, that it kind of takes away from the story a bit. I just didn't love that It felt very flat. It felt very like there's black and white and that's it. Like, it didn't feel very like morally gray. Like, even though I didn't enjoy Bunny, this one felt even flatter to me.
Yeah. Well, that's part of my point is like everything is just like made so simple after a book that made everything so complicated. It was like, oh, okay.
We've also, have you noticed, read several books where the whole story is grad school is hell.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Catharsis, Ninth House, heck, Love Hypothesis.
Yeah.
So that is actually a comparison I wanted to bring up, is that this book reminded me a lot of Catharsis. And one of the biggest things was that I feel like it almost made itself too niche. Like, this book was a little bit too much only about an MFA program, you know?
Catharsis was also too niche.
Right.
Yeah.
And Catharsis was also too much about a PhD.
It wasn't program. Even a real program.
A fake magical program.
Yes. And so it's like it became about this experience that is actually also a very privileged experience. And that made it feel very small and almost like ignorant. Like, oh, all the woe is me for these rich girls, you know what I mean? Right. Who are like torturing themselves.
Almost, if you want to bring up another one of R.F. Kuang's books, Yellow Face-esque.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like everyone's actually just fighting to steal from each other instead of making something.
Like they don't have any individual or unique ideas. They're all just hive-minding one idea.
Right. And I think that, again, can happen, but I just don't think this book communicated it in a very like nuanced or interesting way.
Well, also proof that no ideas are original, because we just talked about other books about the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Told in very different ways.
Inception, some, guys.
Some more successful than others.
None of those have been super successful for me, except Yellow Face. I did like,
I like Yellow Face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I kind of like the frenetic, chaotic, crazy woman.
I love crazy
this
women.
Kind of story. So that's why Yellow Face I loved. And this one I tolerated.
Right. Because this one I actually felt like they weren't as crazy as they should have been. They could have been crazy for me.
Like I could have used more crazy.
Yeah.
Because also the fact that this whole bunny thing is evidently just part of like Warren lore and experience.
Almost Warren, makes, do you get it?
Yes. I don't want to talk about it.
It's a little on the nose.
Yeah, it is. It just almost makes it feel like they actually weren't doing anything wrong, because they were just doing what like people did in that program.
They
were just,
they also talked about like this campus is so murdery.
Yeah.
Nobody cared.
Right. But it's because every creative is apparently making bunnies and like setting loose these psychopaths.
They did free the philosophy student though from his bonds.
Now he gets
that was a commentary on its own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now he gets to be a simple rabbit. Because to me, this book would have been great if it had been way more psychotic. And also those themes about like the prison of humanity and like the freedom of the simple animal life. This would have been amazing.
It's where Ursula entered lost interest.
I mean, I don't know. That part did stretch on way too long.
I'm not saying it was all her fault. That's just like about the time in the book where I was like, when the poetries take them to dinner and stuff, that's where I was like, nah.
Yeah. Well, so I did really like Leon. Or what's his name?
Lenny.
Lenny.
Leonard.
Lenny was a great addition for me. I was like, finally someone who's like moving in this narrative who I feel
that's
like.
Just where it became more philosophical and less chaotic.
Yes. But I wanted to feel like there was something to read about other than just like, oh, this is a creative writing program. Here's what it's like to write a story. It's terrible.
I just like the chaos.
Here's another Alan to die.
If this whole thing was just Coraline and Kira and then Arius and Alan, I would have been like, hell yeah.
Because I'm also like, the bunnies argued with each other, but they never truly backstabbed each other. They never really tried to create on their own.
They were just jealous of each other, which is like what you would expect in a creative writing program.
Right. But things never got taken to that like next level. Things never like crescendoed.
Well, they kept saying that like Elsinore had this like special gift and like had this like witchy power, but we never see it.
Right.
She thinks that's because she claims she's the one who caused all this to happen. She thinks you see it. I don't like her. She's my least favorite because she is boring.
She was really boring.
Yeah.
And it was really hard to read her perspective.
Vic was boring too. That's what I'm saying. If it was just Kira and Coraline, and then the sex addict. Dumb and Dumber could have had such a fun time.
Dumb and Dumber are the better ones, yes.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about
it. Kind of just like did our own thing there for a bit.
Yeah, but we just talked. I'm like, what question next? I think we should talk a little bit more about Arius because it's through his journey that we start to learn the rules a little bit of how making a quote unquote bunny works.
Do you think your editor jumped out a window due to the emojis?
I think.
Sorry.
And the poetries and the manuscript.
They kind of made me laugh eventually.
Yeah.
But at first I was like, ew.
I actually liked the emojis because I thought they were kind of funny.
I listened to this on audiobook, and yes, they do say every single time, smiley face, frowny face.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
That's extremely annoying.
Well, they're little circle-faced.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a circle around it. It's not just, like, a colon and a...
Yeah.
It's, like, little smiley face.
Oh, no, I had the like, audiobook, and then I also had a Kindle version from the library.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yes... I saw both, but yes, he would just be like, and then I murdered Alan, wrong Alan, frowny face. And it was just like, what the fuck am I listening to?
See, but that was, his Halloween Rampage was like the only reason this probably even got 2 stars for me. I loved it so much because he was like, I'm doing this thing that was built into me, but I'm doing it wrong. And I kind of like these people, but I killed them all.
Yeah. Yeah, I do see that. See, I like him because he's not a moral entity. He's like just like
no. It's like emotion. Watching Ken on Barbie.
Exactly.
That's a good description.
Yeah, it's Ryan Gosling. Like, if you make this a movie, cast him.
Right. Like, he doesn't see things as good or bad. He just experiences.
He's just Ken.
And he's just programmed the way he's programmed. He's programmed to kill Alan, so he does. Like, whatever. Like,
I'm Just Ken is probably his theme song. Also, that's funny because the weird Ken doll is named Alan.
That is funny. And it's also like, of course he likes men because all the women who created him were obsessed with men. And of course he, like, I don't know, loves to drink.
That was the super funny part is they're like, oh, yeah, we tried for other shapes and stuff. And we tried for women. Of course. But like, I don't know. They all turned out as these blonde haired, blue eyed business type guys. It's like,
Mm-hmm. That's your type, sis.
I liked that. That was funny.
Because it really is all about men and male validation. It doesn't matter who you're attracted to. You can still be a slave to the male gaze. Okay. So anyway, so Arius starts killing people who he thinks are Alan, and they end up turning into bunnies. And then at the end, we ended up figuring out from Alan that like a creation, quote unquote, can create bunnies, or like an artist can create a creation.
Fan fiction.
Right. But only, the creations, quote unquote, creator can send them, quote unquote, back. So at this point, now this whole bunny thing is like a solidified magic system. What did you guys think of that?
Sort of. I still don't know where they got the power to do it.
They just thought really hard and then a bunny exploded.
No, like really, that's what it seemed like.
That is what it is.
I did like the system, and that's where I say Alan ended up being an interesting character. And it was like kind of the commentary on listen to your freaking TA. They really do know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right.
I just love he was just like, oh, this is another bunny. What did I say? That was wrong. Everyone always hates my critiques. Like, no, you're trying to kill me. And I'm just like, oh, my God. And then Alan's like a fucking bunny.
Yeah. I think it fell into the trap of it either was too much or not enough. Like, either everything should have been ambiguous and mystical and never explained, or I needed way more than we got. Because if you're going to explain it in such concrete terms, now I'm like, what about this? What about this? What about that? Why can they even do it? Does it matter who? Like, is there one person who created him? Like, does that mean they all have to kill him to send him back? Like, I just feel like explaining it a little bit was unsatisfying.
I feel like that's why partially at the beginning they were fighting over, like, who really caused his eyes to turn blue. Because I think they're all still vying for that power they've learned was a thing.
Right. Because now I'm like, this has always been a part of Warren. Like, I either needed more or needed nothing.
It expanded. Yeah, it expanded outside of the friend group or the bunnies from the first book. And now you're realizing that they aren't the only ones who can make creations and aren't the only ones that are getting inspiration. And I think that's the whole point of it.
No wonder there's so many bunnies running around. Yeah. They're all just other people's ideas being picked up and turned into men.
Yeah. Right. And Samantha, we find out her friend in the first book truly was a bunny who was a swan.
I forgot about that entirely. That's one of the things that when I was reading, I go, what?
I did not. Because there's a whole debate about whether or not that friend was real or not. And I guess now we know.
No, she was not.
She was a swan. But then I'm like, okay, so it doesn't
happen. What is real?
Yeah.
Catherine's going to punch me.
And the book talks about that a little bit too, because they're like, well, everything is a fiction.
No, that's like, yeah, that's the whole, that like, is the thing that Arius says the most is what is real.
Yeah.
Did his desire to be like his maker Elsinore and capitalize all the nouns drive you nuts?
Yes.
Yes.
In general. Okay, so I found the parts I found funniest were how much he hated the poets. And he was like, reader, I did not enjoy the poetry.
Wait, like, both burned down the poetry bar and they're like cheering.
Yes. And I will say, I was worried Pony would commit suicide.
Yeah, I love that part because I fucking hate poetry. So that was the only part where I was just like, that's fair. Burn it down. Burn it all down.
Right. Yeah, but it's proof. Him loving Jonah is proof that, like, you need to engage with all types of art to be your best creative self.
Yeah, that's why I was forced to read this book.
Yeah.
We are smarter, more critical thinkers because we read such a wide variety of books.
I do not disagree.
It's this one has given me not nearly as good. Tender as the Flesh. Like, did I like it? No. But is there so much to talk about? Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know. Are you guys ready to talk about the ending? Or maybe we should talk about Ursula.
No, I don't want to talk about her.
Ursula's part of the ending. Crazy older woman, desperate to stay relevant.
She's being put out to pasture.
Because this is just what happens at Warren.
Yeah. Who, like, tried to commit a murder, and everyone was like, that's our baby.
I don't understand how he became a bunny again.
I don't
know. I think he just...
He gave
his story?
The book to Jonah.
Uh-huh.
And then he became a bunny with Tyler.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
See? Nope.
To me, I read this as... He managed to reclaim his narrative and tell his story in a truly honest way. And that set him free. However, this is the one part of the book that's left pretty ambiguous.
It did seem like Ursula was planning to free him if he was her creation.
But he was not. So she was just going to murder him.
Right.
Yeah.
I liked the ending. Because it sets up Bunny then it sort of leads off into the portion where the bunnies figure out that Samantha has created a friend. And then they're like, oh, maybe we'll recruit her because she's good at this and we want to be good at it.
Yeah, basically, like, their creativity is waning and they found a victim.
Right. So I sort of liked that, like, oh, now the tendrils are like finally connecting, like blah, blah, blah. I liked the resolution with Arius because I was rooting for him and he was only character I really cared about.
Him and Tyler and Lenny are all going to hang out in the rabbit hole.
I know. Like the rabbits were the best characters.
The traumatized rabbits.
Lenny was giving that scene in Twilight where the really old Vertiri guy goes, last.
Yes.
Sorry. That's like kind of how I pictured it. And I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that for you.
But I kind of loved that he was like at peace with it all. And he was trying to like help Arius and kind of like
his little like sidekick.
Yeah, yeah.
But Ursula totally knew it was him because she's clearly dabbled in this before.
Yeah, no, she was taking care of him. Like, she was like, ah, yes, he'll go to the guest room and, you know, I'll pick him up and pet him because this is Lenny, our friend, our family friend.
Which super weird.
Mm-hmm. All right, do you guys think there will be another book?
I hope not.
I've heard that's the rumor.
No, oh my god, I'm not reading another one. This is already
about good. Swans.
I have no idea.
Okay, actually, no, that's the part of the ending we need to talk about, not the Arius part, the Samantha part.
Yeah,
that's where I was like, nope.
She bunnied herself.
If I thought this was a waste of my time before, it definitely was now.
Oh my god, I forgot about that. Honestly,
because it was so bad.
Yeah,
she bunnied herself and then jumps out of window, and then she steals the manuscript of the bunnies.
Publishes this book again.
And then publishes this book, which is Arius's book from the bunnies.
Yeah, I thought
the bunny's story with Arius's story.
Yes,
I thought it was horrifically stupid.
Yep.
I was like, that makes no sense. Like, first of all.
Okay, that's also, sorry, that made me think of, this is where I started to get extra mad, when Arius's story was magically writing itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
You can't just magically do that.
Stuff can't just be happening. Like, it's, everything
has to be. We've established one type of magic.
Right.
Not another one.
You can't just invent shit at the end because you're like, oh, the narrative will be complete. Like, all the words are transcribed.
Yeah, that's where I got really angry. And then Samantha was just like, skirt. No swiping.
Right. Because then we then find out that Samantha has obviously continued creating bunnies and whatnot by herself.
And is good at it.
Yeah. Which
very
I guess
good is, at it because she can create herself in a bunny form.
Right. Which is crazy because I was like,
which is just a sign that she's a narcissist.
Yes. But I was also like, none of the artists have that much control over what the bunny looks like.
But she's published, the others are not.
She can just magically, even Alan and Ursula couldn't get bunnies that they wanted. And so I was like, oh, she can just magically create a bunny that's identical to herself.
Narcissist.
Yeah. And also that bunny can complete a reading. Like, I was just like, and can act like a normal human being. Like, even Arius was like, head empty. Like, I love
there's your sequel. That's what's gonna come.
Dude, I can't.
And I don't care because I don't like Samantha.
I know.
Pretty bad when I choose the slightly more normal person over the bunnies. I mean, I choose the bunnies over the slightly more normal person, but.
But she ain't normal.
No.
No.
She's a bitch.
Yeah, stealing people's work.
Right. Because then you find out that she is sort of like justified for being a villain in their eyes because she really did take from them.
Right. And she is like the author. The author is Samantha.
Right.
Of the book you're reading.
Right.
And that made me think too hard.
Brain hurts.
All right. I think we're at the end. Anything else you guys want to say?
No.
Any book recommendations?
Yeah, I did it better.
Facts.
Girl Dinner?
Yes.
Okay. I want to recommend Bunny. I'd also recommend Night Bitch, which I recommend all the time, but it's very similar to Bunny in the fact that it's sort of an acid trip where you're not really sure what's happening, but it has a lot of like deep themes about womanhood and motherhood and becoming a creature of the night.
also became a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's it. You guys can tell us what you think at Busy Girls Pod pretty much everywhere. Also, busygirlspod.com. We love to hear from you guys. We love to get book recommendations. So let us know what you're reading and if you'd like us to read it too. And we will try to.
We're sorry in advance if the next episode is late, guys.
Yeah.
It's long. It's strength of the few. So if you know, you know.
We're struggling. We're busy girls.
Yeah. And this book set us all back schedule-wise.
Yeah. You can blame Bunny. It was like
500 pages. I don't think we said that anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like 480-something pages. Yeah.
Oh,
that was one of the best parts of Bunny is that it was like 350 pages.
That was too long for that book.
Yeah. Moral of the story, learn how to edit.
Yeah. Okay. Rate and review the podcast. And
yeah,
I think that's it.
I think that's it. Yeah. I'm Catherine.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Casey. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.